definitely human.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Christmas in Hong Kong, 1921. Sebastian St. Battenberg and his overeager acquaintances are once again in a foreign land, investigating the mysteries of the occult. Hot on the trail of their only lead, Jonathan Ling, they find themselves underground and underprepared for the appalling truths that await them, because there are no tidings of great joy in The Infinite Bad. The Nightmare of Cao Yi Chow, Part 5. Stepping across the threshold into the tunnels, our heroes are immediately overpowered by the stench of human waste. These tunnels are bare, the walls are rough and crumbling mortar, with cracked tile flooring underfoot. Every dozen feet, a weak gaslight sputters, casting an unwelcome, jaundiced pallor over the misery. There are dozens of cages built into these tunnels, large enough to fit a person lying down and not much else. The cages are the abject homes of painfully thin men and women, although thankfully there are no children in sight. They huddle on matted and soggy piles of newspapers and stare up at Dorothy, Cornelia, Sebastian, and Joy as they pass. A few cough, others smoke. Whatever small motions they perform, they seem like listless, nearly artificial representations of life. So profound is their wretchedness.
This is quite sad.
I don't think we're going to find many opportunities to buy gifts here.
So the passage goes on for a little bit, and you can see that there's a T-junction at the end of it with corridors going left and right.
Well, we power on down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I want to get to the bottom of this, right?
The fox face man, yes.
No, not the fox. That was... No, forget about the fox face.
It's all
face.
Connected, Sebastian. It must be.
No.
Declo Hall.
But that
fox
was...
Fox faces.
That, the fox face was just a dream she had.
Well, not now. We've seen it.
Well, I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
No, but I do trust Cornelia.
I trust Cornelia.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yes. The fox-faced man, as well, is involved.
So shall we... I think we should stick together, person. I know that this left-right, we have an option here to split up.
Feels like a trap, doesn't it?
It feels like...
And let's go to the end of the corridor and then see what is at either end of this yeah. T.
So you make it to the end of the corridor. There's enough room for really for two of you to go abreast. So let me know what your marching order is, as they say.
I'm in front.
Yep.
Does it look dangerous?
Well, it looks very sad and depressing, but not yet dangerous.
Not dangerous. I'll go in front.
Okay. Okay. And
so it's Sebastian and Cornelia in front, yes. And then we're behind. Yeah, we're behind. Fine.
Okay, great. You get to the end of the intersection and looking left and right, all you can see is that each path leads to another intersection.
Oh, dear.
This is incredibly depressing.
Yes, there's more cages lining all the halls.
I guess I'm kind of looking, like squinting at the picture of the man and kind of at just the people in the cages to see if anyone matches up.
Yeah, make a perception check or an investigation check, actually. Yeah, same die.
18.
Okay, you looking at each of them, the main thing that you can notice is that the man in the picture, and from your recollection of having seen him at the party, is healthier than the men that right. and that you see here. Here they're really on their last legs, many of them. Jonathan Ling was not, you know, a plump man, but he certainly had a more of a lively complexion when you saw him, at least.
I don't think I really did see him, did I? I think there was like a maybe a moment, but I was very drunk.
And he was always across the room, yeah. really.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
he came to me with a tea, but then that was about it, right?
Okay.
We never really...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. we would have noticed, I think, we noticed generally that the waiters
oh, yeah, they didn't
at the
look
hotel
dying.
Were not emaciated.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's true.
All right, should we just go left?
Okay. So you start going left, and then there is a turn to the right. And you find yourselves in a small room that is a dead end now. The hallway has led to this room, and it is a small square, about 20 feet. And inside this room, you can see that there is a bed, again, of soggy newspaper, a small lamp, a gas lamp, a couple of pieces of change on the floor, and there is a man standing at the other corner of this room in the shadows, thrown off by the gas lamp. And as soon as he sees you, he steps towards you and begins screaming at you in Cantonese and starts pushing at you, pushing at your chest and waving you away. He seems very upset that you're here.
Are we just in this guy's room?
It seems that way. And from what you can see, this is the luxury section of these tunnels because he's actually got a room.
Does he look anything like the picture of Jonathan Ling?
No. He doesn't look like him at all.
I guess I just ignore him then.
Show the picture?
Yeah. Who has it?
I come forward and show the picture.
Okay. You show the picture to him and for an instant he looks down at it. And then looks back up at you, Joy, with a hard expression, and then points very determinedly back down where you came. And then he grabs the pass. He goes back to his kind of cot area, and he grabs a pencil and he draws you a little map of the area, and does a little circle, and then he gives it back to you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Good man. Thank you very much. Yes.
Can we like give him a coin or something? I don't know what. Sixpence or
threepence?
A threepence, yeah.
Like
some two shillings worth.
Yeah,
pence. Like
yeah,
I don't know
an appropriate amount of money.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we make sense of the map?
Yes, you can make sense of the map. And he looks at you somewhat resentfully when you give him the money.
Oh.
And then he goes back to his cot.
Does he accept the money though?
No.
Oh. Oh. I feel bad now.
Ended, yeah.
I just shake my head, for God's sake, Dorothy. And then I walk off.
I would like to pat Dorothy on the shoulder and then walk off to Sebastian.
I'm going to keep thinking about how condescending that gesture was and berating myself over it.
Okay. As you start walking back, following the path that this man has set out on Ling's card, make dexterity checks.
Ooh, that would be a 2.
A 6.
2.
1.
A 1.
1?
I know, it rolled back to a 1.
Wait, 1, 2, 2 and 6.
That's yeah.
astonishing. Okay, you're walking, you find yourself walking through a particularly dark section of these hallways. There's actually, the gas lights seem to have gone out in this segment, and so you're kind of just feeling your way through. And Joy, you got a little bit reckless here, and you tried to forge ahead. Given that it's naturally dark already, you figure that you'd do some reconnoitering stealthy style. Unfortunately, you slip very badly on something very slick on the ground, and you fall, you hear the wooden sound of a bucket tipping over, and then you begin retching uncontrollably. Make a constitution save. You've been covered in human waste.
Oh, God. 9.
Okay, so Joy doesn't know it yet, but you've contracted cholera.
What? Oh, no, that's really serious.
No, that's bad.
That's really serious.
Oh, fuck.
But as far as Joy knows right now, this is just the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to her.
Okay. Oh my God, this is disgusting. What is this mess?
The rest of you don't understand what's happening. She's screaming and you've heard her fall, but you don't quite understand, even though you understand that it's quite slick underfoot, though, because all of you have nearly fallen as also.
Presumably, I would have some matches or something for my cigarettes.
Yep.
Can I light a match?
You can light a match. It flares more than you would expect it to. And you can see this horrific, miserable figure of Joy. And it seems like a bucket of shit has literally just been tipped all over her upper body and face as she slipped and knocked it over.
Joy, my silly girl, what have you done?
Oh, God.
You've got a bit of something on you.
Oh, God. So try as hard as you can not to swallow anything, not to ingest at all. Yeah, spit out.
Yeah, make a constitution save and the rest of you make perception checks.
15.
Okay, you manage to stop yourself from vomiting for about 5 seconds and then it all starts coming out.
Fair enough.
Okay, I got 7.
I got 17.
Oh, 1.
Okay. Sebastian, as you struck the match, you notice that further on, you can see the glint of something metal, just as you struck it. But besides that, you don't see much else. And Dorothy, you got a 1.
Mm.
You're a bit overcome by the smell, and the sight of her vomiting is also sending you into kind of dry heaves and retches.
Oh, Dorothy. I walk off towards the glint.
I would like to pat Dorothy on the shoulder and go after.
Come along, Joy. We'll get you cleaned up soon, I'm sure.
Are you going to touch her and help her up? Or are you literally just like walking past her and be like, come along?
I'm verbally helping her up. With my voice, I encourage her. I don't want to touch her.
Is there anything, like newspaper or something around that I could just scrape as much as I could off? Just something. I feel like I'm not just going to walk along as I am.
Yeah.
I need to...
I'll peel off a layer of petticoat. If you want.
I mean, you've got the bag with the adoption papers in it.
Yes.
Don't you dare. Stop the show. Don't you dare.
There's nothing else around.
Well, you've got the bag itself. You've got a little jacket on that you can like take off and start daubing your face and matted hair.
Okay, fine. I take off my jacket. I take out the gun and the knife and I put it into the bag and I start using the jacket to get rid of all of the excrement all over myself. I look at the adoption papers, but I can see how upset Cornelia is, and so I put them back into the bag and walk along.
Okay, with hands trembling, you manage to do a relatively decent job of getting most of the effluent off you, and the four of you continue down the hallway. After about a minute's more progress, it's still quite dark, and you see that there's a light slightly further on, but as you approach it, it starts fading a little bit, and at this point, you notice that you're stepping on what seem to be iron bars. And just as you do so, you can hear the metallic creaking of something swinging shut behind you.
That's not good.
No.
You hear a hacking cough behind you now, and one of the gas lights that was previously unlit on the wall hisses back to life. And you can see none other than Jonathan Ling, the waiter from the party yesterday. He seems to be the one who has swung the cage shut behind you.
Oh.
Now, Ling is standing there, And you notice immediately that he looks quite different from how he looked the night before. Indeed, now he looks a lot more similar to the other people that you've seen here. It looks like he's aged 15 years overnight. He's gaunt and sallow, and he's coughing almost constantly. But he regards you with impassive eyes.
Mr. Ling, I presume.
Ah, we have caught you, no. Jonathan Ling.
Hold on.
Ah, you thought you could escape, but here we are, in our clutches now, aren't you? Yes.
Let's not go accusing anyone of anything. Mr. Ling, we hope you might be able to help us with something. Do you speak English?
Okay, so as you're talking, you notice he's about 2 feet away from the bars of the cage. This doesn't escape your notice. As Ling stares at you, he doesn't respond to you, but his deep dilated pupils quiver across your features, and you notice that his chest is heaving and catching with these suppressed coughs. He begins listing then, almost like a doomed ship, slowly but inexorably, and then finally, all at once, he falls to one side against the left wall of the room. And then he begins sliding down, his shoulder catching against the exposed mortar and the walls. His eyes do not leave you as he falls, and they remain on your faces as he slumps near your cage. His breath is now shallow and ragged. He's sweating profusely, and you can see rivulets of liquid kind of forming in his gaunt cheeks. And you can see kind of about half a dozen vanguard flies, fat and curious, have begun worrying at parts of his face.
Can I fit my hand through the cage? He's 2 feet away. Can I, grab at his jacket or, search for keys or something? Is there a way to get out? Is there a lock for the cage?
Yeah, so make an investigation check within the cage.
Six,
okay. He's a little bit too far for you to reach with your hands, but he's quite close. And having a quick look around the cage, you don't see much. It doesn't seem to be padlocked. It just seems to be an actual lock worked in as part of the door itself.
Was he suffering from opium withdrawal or something like that? Can I check my medical knowledge?
Yeah, make a medicine check.
11.
Yes, you would assume so, especially because looking around this cage, you can see a long opium pipe about a foot and a half long.
Can I reach him?
Yes, you can.
Can I sort of drag him closer to me through the bars?
Yeah, make a strength check.
12.
Okay, you start dragging him a little bit closer towards you, and he flops on top of your hand as you do so.
Ugh. Do you want to check to see if he's got keys on him or something?
Yes, I would like to start checking the body for keys.
Okay, so now that you've dragged the body closer, Sebastian, you can, Joy, you can make an investigation check.
Okay, good. Come on. 2.
Oh, so empty his pockets. Just
yeah.
Okay. So you manage to start emptying his pockets, and a few things come out, including the keys. But because you emptied them in such a hurry, the key actually drops and tinkles away a little bit further out of arm's reach.
How far out of arm's reach?
Reaching your arm out, it's about a foot too far.
Oh, that's quite.
How
far.
Big's that opium pipe, though?
It's about a foot and a half.
Easy.
Yeah.
We'll just do that.
Okay. Yeah. Who's going to do it?
I'll go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Make a dexterity check.
4.
Okay. You're kind of pawing at it with the opium pipe. You almost drop the opium pipe, but you don't manage to make it. And you're nervous that if you keep trying with your hands trembling.
Oh, God. This is how we die.
Okay. I want to take over and do it because I have a stealth. Would stealth and survival, would that not help me in my...
No, but you have a high dexterity, so I think you would be a good candidate to do it, right?
11.
Okay, no, yeah, that's fine. With your nimble sense of coordination, you manage to catch the key on the edge of the opium pipe and drag it towards you, and now you have it.
Okay, good.
In terms of the other things that you found coming out of Ling's pocket, there is a packet of cigarettes. There is a matchbook, which is surprisingly extremely ornate. Each match seems to have been intricately drawn on with the figure of a person, with the match head being that person's face. You also find an ornate and beautifully embossed invitation, which is written in a fine English hand.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
It says, "My dearest Ling, your travails are nearing their end. Come to Cao Yi Chao tomorrow and find at last the greatness that lies within us all. Tria juncta in uno, and blessings on you and those you hold dear.
Is there a date?
No, there's no date.
Who's it by? Who's it from?
There is no name.
How recent does it look? Like, is it yellowed or crinkled? Like,
it looks very recent, and it looks very fastidiously maintained on the part of Lynn.
I think we have our next address, guys.
Yeah. Do you want to make sure this key does open this door?
Yeah, I say we get the hell out of here. Let's try and open the door and, or let's open the door and leave.
Okay, so the key does in fact open the door.
Oh, thank God.
And yeah, you manage to thread your way out of the hallways again.
Did we want to check like what the deal with Jonathan is? Is he just like...
Yeah, I mean, you can check his body.
Yeah, that's...
Is he dead?
He seems dead now.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Not just on opium, then.
Yeah, let's check him a little bit more thoroughly, I think.
Okay, so make an investigation check, and you make a medicine check, Dorothy.
5.
15.
11.
He's dead. Yeah.
20.
Wow. So, Dorothy, you notice that there are a variety of cuts all up and down his forearms, and that they are worn smooth, not shaved, but worn smooth, as if something has consistently caused friction to Ling's forearms, to the extent that they would just be smooth and glossy. And to your familiar dread, when you hold his mouth open, you can see that, in fact, several of his teeth have been removed.
Oh,
come on.
It's like the teeth again, you guys. So his forearms are similar to the man's that we, the man we killed.
Yes.
In the pig death room.
In the meat room, yes.
Yeah.
The forearms are the same.
Yeah. And look, he doesn't have any teeth. So.
So there it is.
Grand.
Yep.
All right.
Just. It's almost as if we can't escape it.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah,
guys. Let's leave.
Let's leave. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so you managed to make your way out of these dark hallways and back onto the little landing where the tram brought you. Indeed, perhaps your first stroke of good luck in these past 2 days, the tram is there just as you emerge. A couple of other wretched souls have come out to wait on the platform with you. They're coughing into their hands or rolling cigarettes, and they step into the tram, still eyeing you nervously. They're not quite sure what you wanted here or what you did, but you step onto the tram and the tram grinds its way into motion again and takes you back out into the darkening evening now, or the kind of like fading light of dusk. Which is still a comfort to see the relative normalcy of the crowded streets of Hong Kong and Peel and Gage Street. And eventually the crowds thin out and you're brought back to the stop where you initially got this tram.
I think we need to get you cleaned
invitation.
Off.
Oh, right.
Don't we?
So we do need we to go... hold her down.
Yeah.
To, Joy, you're feeling pretty poorly.
Okay.
You need to like walk in the sea or something.
Yeah.
I don't know that the sea in Hong Kong in the 1920s would necessarily improve matters, but maybe, I mean, can we find like any sort of hotel where we could just rent a room where we could...
No. Well, our hotel.
Yeah, you can take her back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Let's do that, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's about a half an hour walk, and you are feeling quite dizzy and wretched by the end of it, Joy. But once you get back, you get back to your rooms and you manage run a bath and actually clean yourself properly. You still feel quite unwell, but at least you're satisfied that you are clean now.
Okay.
And anything that you've picked up should... have like a period in your body for several days, so you're fine and helpful to us for at least a few more days before
God damn, Dorothy.
So cold.
What do I do about... Oh, I would have brought a change of clothes, of course. Yes, so I just changed my clothes. Yeah.
So now your next lead, I suppose, then is this Cao Yi Chow.
Are we going back to the
The concierge.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to go and see him again.
You go and see him, and as you're striding across the hotel lobby, he sees you, and he looks down at his watch, and then he says something to the colleague he's working with, and he steps out into the back room. The colleague that he's working with, a short Chinese lady in her mid-40s, looks a little bit confused at him, and then gives you a pleasant, if officious, smile and says, "Hello, can I help you?"
"Yes, we are looking for Cao Yi Chao. Is that, did I get that right?"
"Ah, Cao Yi Chao. Yes. You want to go to the island?"
"Yes. Yeah, the island. Yes, yes, that's exactly that's where we right. want to go. Yes."
"Yep." "Okay, you go to Admiralty. There's boats there. Boats there."
"That was a lot easier that was very last easy. Time.
Thank you very much. Service. Thank you."
"Okay, so Admiralty is a section of Hong Kong, which is basically the dock area of Hong Kong. So it's going to take you about 20 minutes to get there."
"Okay, just enough time to smoke an entire pack of cigarettes."
"Yeah, just work your way through the entire one.
One a minute."
Okay, so the dock area of Hong Kong Island is known simply as Admiralty, and it consists of a long covered walkway on two tiers with hundreds of boats and ships of a dozen different sizes and provenances crowding in the filthy water. There's Chinese junk boats with their distinctive fan-like red sails drifting between dozens of smaller fishing vessels, while huge British ships loom like mountains overhead, defining the floating landscape. Amidst them towers the HMS Tamar, which was hulked 20 years ago, but is still floating in the harbour, serving as a base for the British Navy in Hong Kong. It's a working dock, and it's both a military and a commercial dock. So there's a lot of activity here, and there's not a lot of guidance about how to go about finding a boat to take you. There's not like a map or a set of routes."
"We should just, I guess I go down and try to just sort of catch someone's eye." "Mm-hmm." By waving my hand directly in their face until they acknowledge me.
"Okay, make a perception check." "All
8.
9. 11. 19.
Okay, Sebastian, you've taken the lead here, and you're a head taller than anyone else here, which allows you to kind of see over the thronging crowds at the docks. And indeed, you can see a face that you recognize. It's actually Sophia from the night before.
"Oh."
And she seems to be wandering around the docks also. She is talking to various dock workers and boatmen. And you notice that she is doing so in Cantonese.
That annoying woman at the party. I forget her name, but she's the one with the writing the all
journalist.
The time. The journalist.
The journalist, yes.
She's there. We should go and... She's speaking in their language, so... Good person to talk to, probably.
Yeah, let's ask her for some help, maybe."
"Okay. So who's going to approach Sophia?"
"Yeah, she did seem to like me she a likes little you. Bit, didn't she?"
"Keep an eye out for any good knickknacks that we might be able to buy. Just something to think about."
"Should I offer her any information or any leads in exchange for her help? I'm not sure if she's just going to help us out of the goodness of her heart."
"We can promise leads."
"Yeah. You should offer her up the invitation and say, 'We're trying to go here. You know, have you heard about it? Would you like to come?' or something. Put it to her like that."
"Do we want her company, though?"
"Ugh.
That's a question that we need to really think honestly about, because she was annoying."
"I mean... Of all the sort of evils we've encountered, it's not that high on my list, personally. It's someone who's kind of vaguely annoying. I mean, believe me, you get used to it."
"Okay. I could also say, like, that if we figure anything out, that we're working on a big mystery. And if we figure anything out, she'll be the first person. She'll have exclusive access to the story."
Yeah.
Use that word, exclusive. I like that.
Yeah.
As journalists.
Scoop.
Yeah. Shall I do that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm going to approach her with the invitation.
Okay. As soon as you're within 20 feet of her, she immediately calls out to you and starts pushing through the crowds. "Dorothy Taylor!
Sophia! Fancy running into you here!"
She gives you a fierce embrace and a wet kiss on both cheeks.
I reciprocate, I suppose.
I shudder.
Says, my dearest friend in this savage island.
Oh. I forgot about your little racism. Sophia, crazy party last night, right? Crazy. It was crazy, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I was quite tired, so I retired quite early. But I heard from other guests, Mrs. Brackfort was unwell all of today, recovering. So I assume it went on quite late.
Yep, it was insane. So question, I can't stop thinking about what a great job you're doing forging a path for female journalists in a man's profession. And
she's nodding vigorously.
Yes, you understand.
I do. It's really inspirational. You're an inspiration to us all. And, you know, nothing would make us happier than granting you exclusive access to the mystery that we're working on once we find some answers. But first we have to find some answers. Do you think you could help us with that, Sophia?
Her eyes widen into saucers and she says, of course! Point the way.
Wonderful. All we need is to figure out what boat to get on in order to get to this island. And I show her the invitation.
Okay, she looks at the invitation and she reads it a couple of times and she starts speaking to herself in very rapid Portuguese. She grabs out her little notebook and starts scribbling inside it, and almost as if she's transcribing the invitation.
Well, I don't like this.
No, I don't like this either.
Do you want to take the invitation away from her?
I think you're just going to have to grin and bear it.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have any other way of figuring out where to go, so I'm not going to alienate her.
Okay, so she snaps her little notebook shut, and you notice it has a little silver lock, and she closes it, puts it into her coat.
Silver lock, how precious.
My hands twitch. I just want to crush it.
And then she says, yes, Kauhi Chau, it is an abandoned island. I think there was a military outpost there some time ago, perhaps. I can't remember exactly what it was, some sort of governmental function, but it has since been abandoned. I had been thinking of going there, but because there didn't seem to be any lead taking me there, Dorothy Taylor.
Yes.
She starts, she grabs you by your bicep and starts dragging you towards a portion of the dock and starts immediately interrogating a quite bewildered looking man dealing with his fishing boat and trying to get his catch out for the day because it's getting to night now. She speaks in very rapid Cantonese and you don't understand how good it is, but he seems to be able to understand her and he talks back to her and then you hear the words Kai Chao, but the man on the boat shakes his head and he points down to another boat further down the dock. And this sequence repeats itself about a half dozen times until you're getting very bored and irritated. But Sophia's enthusiasm doesn't wane at all. And at the end, after about six tries, she turns to you as you stand in front of a relatively small junk boat with these big red sails, which are a little bit decayed and have a few holes in them. There's three people on the boat. And the one of them that Sophia is talking to seems to be looking expectantly at her, and she turns to you and says, so, how are your fund situation doing?
I guess we all look to Cornelia.
Yeah.
The haggling is brief but energetic, and Cornelia finally agrees to pay $5 Hong Kong up front for the journey. Almost as if they were hoping not to reach an arrangement, the sailors look at each of our heroes in turn, nervously, before throwing their cigarettes into the water and preparing the rigging to leave harbour. Sophia excitedly hops onto the boat with both feet, slips, and almost falls. She beckons them in enthusiastically, and our heroes exchange pained looks of exasperation. As the boat pushes off from the dock, the three sailors seem fully despondent, pointedly avoiding eye contact with their passengers. Once it hits open water, Sophia looks up at the HMS Tamar.
Ah, the Tamar! It was involved in the bombardment of Alexandria in 1882, in Egypt, you know. Yes, it was a military success, yet it suffered greatly this campaign. There was a mutiny on board, you see. a strange, violent mutiny. We do not know much about it, but it was refitted afterwards and has been here in Hong Kong ever since. Our heroes turn and look at one another as their small boat drifts out of reach of land, and no one speaks a word. You've been listening to The Nightmare of Cao Yi Chow, written by Giorgio Mariani and produced and edited by David Knight and Tom Dalling, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Eleanor Kohler as Dorothy Taylor, Maximilian John as Cornelia Cavendish, David Knight as Sebastian St. Battenberg, and Charlie May as Joy Dutton. I am Giorgio Mariani, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at The Infinite Bad and support the production of this series on Patreon. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. The Infinite Bad is a Definitely Human production.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.